Marvolo Gaunt's ring lay on the desk before Dumbledore. It was cracked. The sword of Gryffindor lay beside it. Dumbledore grimaced.
I was a fool. Sorely tempted. Tempted by what?
Dumbledore did not answer.
It is a miracle you managed to return here.
Snape sounded furious.
That ring carried a curse of extraordinary power. To contain it is all we can hope for. I have trapped the curse in one hand for the time being.
Dumbledore raised his blackened, useless hand and examined it with the expression of one being shown an interesting curio.
You have done very well, Severus. How long do you think I have?
Dumbledore's tone was conversational. He might have been asking for a weather forecast. Snape hesitated and then said,
I cannot tell. Maybe a year.
There is no halting such a spell forever. It will spread eventually. It is the sort of curse that strengthens over time.
Dumbledore smiled. The news that he had less than a year to live seemed a matter of little or no concern to him.
I am fortunate, extremely fortunate that I have you, Severus.
If you had only summoned me a little earlier, I might have been able to do more, buy you more time,
said Snape furiously. He looked down at the broken ring and the sword.
Did you think that breaking the ring would break the curse?
Something like that. I was delirious, no doubt, said Dumbledore.
With an effort, he straightened himself in his chair.
Well, really, this makes matters much more straightforward.
Snape looked utterly perplexed. Dumbledore smiled.
I refer to the plan Lord Voldemort is revolving around me. His plan to have the poor Malfoy boy murder me.
Snape sat down in the chair Harry had so often occupied, across the desk from Dumbledore. Harry could tell that he wanted to say more on the subject of Dumbledore's cursed hand, but the other held it up in polite refusal to discuss the matter further. Scowling, Snape said,
The Dark Lord does not expect Draco to succeed. This is merely punishment for Lucius's recent failures. Slow torture for Draco's parents while they watch him fail and pay the price. In short, the boy has had a death sentence pronounced upon him as surely as I have, said Dumbledore. Now, I should have thought the natural successor to the job once Draco fails is yourself.
There was a short pause.
That, I think, is the Dark Lord's plan.
Lord Voldemort foresees a moment in the near future when he will not need a spy at Hogwarts. He believes the school will soon be in his grasp, yes. And if it does fall into his grasp, said Dumbledore,
almost it seemed as an aside,
I have your word that you will do all in your power to protect the students of Hogwarts.
Snape gave a stiff nod.
Good. Now then, your first priority will be to discover what Draco is up to. A frightened teenage boy is a danger to others as well as to himself. Offer him help and guidance. He ought to accept. He likes you.
Much less since his father has lost favor. Draco blames me. He thinks I have usurped Lucius's position.
All the same, try. I am concerned less for myself than for accidental victims of whatever schemes might occur to the boy. Ultimately, of course, there is only one thing to be done if we are to save him from Lord Voldemort's wrath.
Snape raised his eyebrows, and his tone was sardonic as he asked,
Are you intending to let him kill you?
Certainly not. You must kill me.
There was a long silence, broken only by an odd clicking noise. Forks the Phoenix was gnawing a bit of cuttlebone.
Would you like me to do it now?
Asked Snape, his voice heavy with irony.
Or would you like a few moments to compose an epitaph?
Oh, not quite yet, said Dumbledore, smiling. I dare say the moment will present itself in due course. Given what has happened tonight,
he indicated his withered hand,
we can be sure that it will happen within a year.